I pray you'd help us this morning, Lord. The body's frail. We've been carrying something now about a little over a week, and we just seemingly sometimes saying, just hang on. But Lord, we're thankful to know that we have a strength and inner strength the world knows nothing about, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. We rely on you. We yield to you today, and we pray, Holy Spirit, you be exalted, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read down about verse 20 and 21, 26 through 31. Then we're going to 2 John for just a moment. Verse 20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For he said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, sometimes we hear people talking about how foolish it is to go to church and hear a man preach words, which in turn makes you feel guilty. But in amazing, God says it's by that foolishness the world looks at. Not that it's foolish to preach, but the world looks at it as being foolish. It's that that God uses to save them that believe. Then notice, if you will, down in verse 26, he said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, that's interesting to me because most of the time the world's looking for the opposite of what God is saying here. Most of the time the world's looking for the most knowledgeable person they want to use. Most of the time they want to look at the most intellectual person they want to use. They certainly want to use what they consider the most wisest person, how to put those things together. But God said to these people, when you see your calling, brother, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Wonder why? I think the reason why is because most of the time if a person has arrived to that, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to break through all of that to get them to listen to God. Sometimes a man can learn so much he thinks he knows more than God himself. And so here he's saying, you find that most of the time God really reaches to those who believe, that has a simple heart where God can teach himself the things of God, and there's not always something getting in front of what's been said when God tries to reveal that to the heart. It's not that God can't use intellectual people. He can. But we get sometimes as image of God so smart that we think that we've got God kind of in a box, and we know who he is and what he's doing, and we fail to realize that really God wants to use us rather than us use him. Hear me? Most people want to use God, but God has said, I want to use you, and he's telling some things about that. He said, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Those things the world looks at as being weak and foolish, God said, I have chose that. Because what God is doing will be from the world foolish and weak in their eyes a lot of times until they get to know the one who is able to save them. Then he said, in base things of the world and things which are despised had God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. A lot of times you'd think that reading this would be something the world wouldn't want. And yet God is saying, what I've got is so great that you can look at the smallness of it and it'll do more for you than the greatest things that man can do for you. And he goes on, he said that, and the reason he's doing that in verse 29 is he said that no flesh should glory in his presence. God said, I'm doing this so no flesh will glory in my presence. No man will ever stand before me and say, I got here because of my intellect. No man will ever stand before God and say, I got here because of who I am and what I did, things like that. God said, you'll get before me one day because what I have done for you, not what you've done for me. And yet, on the other hand, I will reward you if you'll do for me what I asked you to do. Even though the world looks like being foolish, it'll be the most wisest thing you could ever do because God, the beginning of wisdom, is trusting God. And he said, but of him are you in Christ, Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Christ of God is made of us wisdom, made us of righteousness, made of us sanctification, made of us redemption. That's what it sets forth, the phrase, as you look at these different things. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now look in 2 John with me for the second phase of what we want to look at in Scripture. 2 John chapter 7, verse 7, verse not only one chapter, Verse 7, verse 9, 10, 11. Watch, he says, "For many deceivers are entering into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh." Ain't that amazing? Confess not. That means that they're saying that what Christ is to the world is foolishness because they confess him not. And John is saying, listen, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." By the way, we've got those today. Amen? We've got them today, folks. Hey, a person who even accepts anything about Christ and denies them the essential things might as well not believe that he exists. You can't believe that Christ came, was born, and didn't die on the cross for sin and think you've got the same Christ that God's talking about, because he did die on the cross for sin. He said, "This is a deceiver and an antichrist." He said, "The deceivers that enter in this world who confess not that Jesus Christ, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh, he's a deceiver and he's also an antichrist." Then he says in verse 9, notice, he said, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ." Now, folks, I want you to listen to this. This is God's Spirit speaking through God's Word through this Apostle John. And he's saying here, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ." The doctrine of Christ is anything you see about him and his death, his burial, his resurrection. He being the Son of God, been the Redeemer, been the one that should come in Israel as far as Messiah. All of those things are the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You can't believe just one and leave the rest out.
That's right.
Now, he's setting a point here. He's giving a warning here. He says, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not the doctrine of Christ." In other words, it's a great transgression to abide not in the doctrine of Christ, because that's truth. He said, watch, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." Did you see that? He's saying, if you don't abide in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, say, what is that? You'd better find out. That's why we said we better abide in. If we don't know what it is, we better find out what it is. The doctrine of Jesus Christ, John said, hath not God. They don't know God. Now, I guarantee there's thousands that dispute that, but then when you do, you're disputing the very word of God. God says point blank to our hearts that anyone who literally does not believe in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Watch. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ knows the difference, though, the comparison. He that hath not the doctrine of Christ don't know God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, you learn that doctrine, you practice that doctrine, you believe that doctrine, your life is centered around that doctrine. Notice he said, he hath, watch this, both the Father and the Son. Does your Bible say that?
Amen.
So that simply says to me, it helps me understand, folks, and you don't hear this preaching today because people don't want to hear this preaching. But I'll tell you, without Jesus Christ, you cannot know the Heavenly Father. And John says it plain. You can read it any way you want to read it. You can read it any way you would turn it around any way you want to, and it'll come out the same, because God says if you abide in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. Now, watch. He said, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not unto your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partakers of evil his deeds." Now, I want to speak to you a few minutes on the modern mind. The modern mind, where we are today. The modern mind will deny most of what you see in 1 Corinthians I read to you in chapter 1. The modern mind would call this here kind of a hatred crime to talk about Jesus Christ on the way to know the true and living God. So we live in an age today where the modern mind been programmed against what God is doing or what God wants to be done. Amen? Keep around. You must not be know much for the Lord if you don't see it. If you slide in with the world, you'll find this won't bother you much. But if you have a mind that you want to have a Christ that comes only from this book, from studying this book, you will find yourself understanding what God says when he talks about the doctrine of Christ and abiding in there and not abiding in there. Now, the dictionary puts that as far as the mind is concerned. It says that which thinks and feels and wills, it's intelligent. It's conscious experiences and sometimes unconscious experiences. In other words, when you come into this world, your mind, you have the capability to learn everything you know you learned. I don't care if it's bad, good, middle, in between, everything you and I have learned, no, we learned from the day we were born. We have learned it. And so we find that the mind has been programmed in some ways that's not really godly, because we live in a world that's ungodly. So we have a hard time sometimes getting that which is right in line with that which we have been taught is right is wrong. And when you have religion on the scale we have today, an instant all the time in your home, you can worship any way you want to just about today with computers and television in your home today. You can find just about any type of religion you want to find. And when you have that programmed in our mind and sent away from the Word of God, or the Word have been rewritten as far as the Word of God is concerned, you find yourself being programmed against God more so than for God. Oh, wait a minute, no preacher. I'm not against God, but you see what John is saying? You can't deny the truths of God anywhere and be for the true God. You can't deny what God says is true. God said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." You can't deny that and be for the true God. You understand what I'm saying? No church can do that. And when they do, they're just having religious ceremonies, and that's about it. And there's nothing been done in the scale. Maybe it may not be on a large scale the world says and says everything's just going to be all right before God. But you're going to wake up one of these days, and so will this whole world. We all wake up one of these days and realize sometimes God's doing more on the small scale than what looks like in the eyes of the world. Because he's got a grassroots that's standing, even like in Paul's day, when it comes to the things that he was doing. So here again, the scientists tell us that the human mind is the most complex living mechanism in this world. We have two entries to our mind, two ears, two eyes. Everything we know and learned since we were born comes through these different gates, two eyes and two ears. When you see and hear things, that influences you. What you see and hear influences your thoughts in the mind and determines your actions in the flesh. What you see and hear will determine what you believe, because it will become part of you sooner or later. And so here, we're talking about the modern mind. There's a difference then that has to do with the mind that God is talking about here in the Scriptures. When you look at this, you find that there's an era where a few years ago, we see the changes. Some of them are good. In the 1960s, we had the battle for racial rights. Nothing wrong with that when a person's mistreated a different way. When you get into the 70s, you have what's called a battle for sexual rights. Now, that's where you begin to deviate, because that which God called abomination, people fought for the right to do. Isn't it an amazing thing that someone wants to do that which God says abomination? And yet, that's what happened in the 70s, and we're seeing a conclusion of that at where we're at now, that where it's no longer just a thing that someone does in the closet, it's out everywhere. Amen? It's out everywhere. So you can imagine what the next generation is going to be if the Lord don't come back for the church. And then you get into the 80s, and you find the battle was against religious rights. And the religious rights was not so much as what God wanted, but what others wanted that was not around God, even though they had God attached to it. God attached to religious rights, not necessarily the Jehovah God of this universe that's involved with it. They may want to worship the God of this universe, but I'm glad God has not left us to just anyone's whims about who the God of this universe is. This Bible tells us who he is. Amen. This Bible is our answer, folks. And I'll go down dying preaching this book as the only way you and I find about God. Amen. You and I study it. We have to teach it. We have to preach it. We have to live it. We have to go out and tell it to others. And that's the only way a person is going to ever know about who Jesus Christ really is in this life. But nowadays, it's confusion. It's kind of like the absent-minded professor that talked. He said one day, absent-minded professor in his office, and he thought he left his watch at home. And so he started to go out the door and put out his watch to see if he had time to go get it. And when he went out, he put a sign on the door, "Be back at 3 o'clock. He got in the car and started leaving. He thought he missed something and left it behind in the office, went back and saw the sign on the door, "Be back at 3 o'clock. So he sat down at 3 o'clock before he went back in. They say that's foolish. Well, that's how foolish God looks at things when they begin to put him in a box somewhere or another rather than let him be who he wants to be. And therefore, he's not left us ignorant. He said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And he's not left us ignorant about what he wants us to do here in this life. So as we moved into the 21st century, people assume that God is today, but it don't matter. There's some people. Now, those who believe that he is, no, it's different. But I'm saying there's people who assume that God is, because everybody's worshiping God except a few who call themselves atheists. Amen? But they don't know that when they do that, they seem to think it really doesn't matter. Today, the universe nor human history is seen in relation to God by most people. We've been education come to the point today that's reversed everything, that most people, according to even 75 years ago, look at this universe in the eyes of what we have intellectually been told rather than what people have said that God has told us down through the years. The thought is today that the universe is heading nowhere. Doom is sure. You hear that all the time, even on a lot of programs. Man is headed towards annihilation, and the grave gets the last words. And in the process of believing this, sin is reduced to a psychological jargon or some maladjustment of wrongdoing without referring to God. The modern day technology finds ways to attack the mind instead of the way that God made it to be to learn by him first and foremost, and then the other things that come along helps us excel as far as our lives are concerned. The mind is to the emotion what food is to the body. The mind, ladies and gentlemen, what it feeds upon influences it. You are what you think. You are, when your mind operates, what you know. Or better still, what you want to know. Or better still, what you'd like to do or not do, as far as life is concerned. Pardon me. Today, man has lost the sense of purpose. Don't see, when you talk about true God, everybody believes they believe in the true God. Folks, I'm dumb, but I got enough sense to know that can't be true. There's too many ideologies about who God is. Who are you going to go to for the truth to learn in your mind that God has given us about that God? Who are we going to go to? I see no source unless it's in this book. This is the only source that I can find that really gives me an accurate look of who God is. And he tells us who we are and what we are. And instead of building us up to a pedestal that we're so high and mighty, he says we're sinners and we need to be saved. He says he sees us with what we inherited from Adam rather than what we thought we built back since Adam's particular day. Kind of like the story of the judge. Guy was in court, and the judge said to him, he's pleading again that he was hurt, and the judge said to him, "Didn't you not say at the accident scene, sir, that you were not hurt?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "Well, why would you say that?" He said, "Judge, you got to keep in mind, I was on the mule and wagon. Said this vehicle hit us and knocked me in the ditch and knocked the wagon in the ditch for all the pieces. I flew over on the side of the ditch. The mule laid in the ditch, a leg broke. And the guy got out and got a pistol and came over there and said, this mule was hurt and shot him right in the head. And he turned to me and said, are you hurt? He said, Judge, what would you say it? Amen. When you look at situations like that, it makes a lot of sense. But we also know that the world tries to make no sense with God. And what God says makes more sense than what man is saying that God did say. And God don't mind telling us how it is. And then we get mixed up on what he's saying at times because we can't reconcile it together in the scripture like we should. Christianity stands or falls upon the credibility of the Bible and the heritage of it. This biblical idea does not appeal to men today. Most of what you and I see in this book that God says, and we look at all of it, don't appeal to man. They might think good about a man need to be saved sometimes and get saved. But on the other hand, when God cries out of sin, you can't find most people today feel they're as bad as God says we are. And if we're not as bad as God says we are, then we don't see the need to get saved. So you see a lot of people nowadays saying that's your way is not our way. Isn't it amazing? Jesus Christ said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. If man doesn't see himself lost, he'll never see the need of Christ coming. And that's the way the mind works in our particular day. There are many things we don't know about God. And yet he has revealed himself to man in many stages in this book. We've been looking at some of those on Wednesday night as we look at the dispensation and so forth. The Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is God's divine communication. And God demands a response to his communication. And those people today who respond against it, he tells us and warns us about that and says, there are certain things I'm setting guidelines for you so you can know when you're where you want to be before me. This is why a sermon is not a lecture. It may sound like it, but it's not a lecture. A sermon is an extension of God's living word through God's written word called the Holy Bible. The living word is Jesus Christ himself. And this is a written word that tells us about this living word. A sermon is uttered to bring man unto the presence of God. Did you not know that? The message of the gospel is to bring people into the presence of God so they can understand how much God loved them, because they're in a place that they cannot help themselves in this life. And that's why the Bible is called God's living word. And give me two quick points on the modern mind. Number one is simply this. The God of the Bible communicates with us. Someone says, "Well, he never come and talk to me." Well, you better hope he don't. Because if you do, you'll probably be out of the bed on your face to the floor trying to get as low as you can, because you find anybody in Scripture who ever came in the presence of God in any form or fashion, in no ways in the sense of seeing him themselves, except Moses saw the back, they found themselves in a prostrate position. Because they understand in this body of flesh, though we're redeemed, this body of flesh has never been redeemed. The new creation has. And one day it's going to glorify a body. And we'll be able to walk over there upright too without any fear at all. But I guarantee you, even a glorified body, when we get around the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and we see them as we do, and through the eyes of those glorified eyes, we'll still be bowing down to them. We'll recognize we wouldn't be there without him. We'd be recognizing the fact without him we're nothing. And with him, he'd give us everything that's ever needed in this particular life. Again, the God of the Bible communicates with us. Biblical revelation gives us God's wisdom. Secular humanism gives us man's wisdom. And man's wisdom and God's wisdom are in converse with each other all the time in this life, fighting over the mind. And isn't it amazing? Jesus Christ showed us, even when Satan tempted him, that he would not use his mind in that time, though his mind was pure. He showed us how to use the word of God, which is from God's mind, and though it's his mind too, but at that time he used the word of God to help us get through things, to see how he did when it comes to fighting what he was fighting as far as Satan was concerned. The ancient Hebrews did not speculate about God. They knew that God spoke to Moses. They knew that God spoke through the prophets. They also, his nature and his love is seen through Christ. His presence is felt through the Holy Spirit. The Jews knew that day that God was real. They'd seen, even though they rebelled against him a lot of times, God could speak at certain cases and bring them back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest, God's powerful. But God's word seemed to be watered down so much today that it's going to take the word coming back, Jesus Christ himself, before the world ever turns back. I think this world's gone. You hear so much about revival happening everywhere. There's a lot of folks getting saved in a lot of places, but I've seen yet very little what was considered a revival like you'd see 100 years ago, like you'd read about 100 years ago, even like you'd see maybe 75 years ago, 50 to 75 years ago. You don't see people falling on the altar like you used to. You don't see people realizing that God had access to their heart and brought guilt in fact, and they felt lifted when they confessed their sin before God. Nowadays, nobody feels like they're so bad, because the world has no condemnation in it at all, except for those who try to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So his presence of the Holy Spirit is felt. Yet today, modern mind finds it difficult to think of a personal God. Humanism is more apt to create a God in one's mind. Man's attempt, and of course humanism is just man's attempt to solve the problem independently of God. That's all humanism is doing. But they don't need God to solve their problems, and therefore, if they can solve their problems, then why do we need God to solve ours? There's some problems you and I can't solve in ourselves. Right. Now, you may be able to solve a debt somewhere or another sometimes, but you can't solve your sin problem. Man, lie. Did I do that? Maybe my voice is getting better than I thought it was. Amen. You and I can't solve our sin problem, folks. We got to depend upon God for that, because he's the only one who can actually do that. Man sees a world, new world created by science and technology. Man feels that God does not fit into all of this new stuff today, because some of the things that was believed years ago can't be seen today due to modern-day technology. Man has looked into places they never looked at before, and consider that God's not seen there like the astronauts at that time when they went up in space. He didn't see God. Well, he couldn't see God because he still had a physical body. One thing for sure, as the old saying goes, if he'd stepped outside of that space, sure he'd saw him real quick alive. Because you can see God when you leave this life as the spirit leaves, you see. But in this body, there's ways that God has toned that down through the physical eye. Today, the whole approach of the Bible seems unreal. To most people, though, they say this. Well, the Bible may mean that to you, but it don't mean that to me. The Bible can say that to you, but it doesn't say that to me. But what about what God says is my question. It's not so much of what the Bible says to me and what it says to you, but it's what is God saying to you and what is God saying to me. And I got news for you. I may be wrong, but God is not saying to me and you two different things. Amen. When I say you, I'm talking about the Word. God is consistent in what He says. Even though there's things from Genesis to Revelation, sometimes we can't just quite get together, God still knows what He's doing. He knows when He's doing it. He knows how He's doing it. And He don't have to change His mind because He makes a mistake. It works as much so in any age as He deals with us in dispensation. So I thank God for that. Even those who pay tribute to God refer to Him as a man upstairs. I never understood that. You say, well, God understands that. Well, I'm glad He does. But See, God means more to me than just like a man upstairs, folks. Christ means more to me than just like a man upstairs. To me, it's a slang to something that you didn't really know who He was. When you realize who He is, man alive, He's greater than Allah because He's the true and living God. And I'll probably get something on that before it's over with. But I still say to you, this book tells us who the true and living God is, and that's the Holy Bible. And we can still thank Him for keeping in touch for us in our particular day. The distraction of this modern world makes it difficult for men to meditate and be open towards God long enough to be aware of His presence in our day. Think how much this morning, right here in this service so far, you've been distracted. Think about the distraction in your mind that you've been listening to me preach for the last 20 minutes and you have just had distraction. I know everyone has. We all do have distractions in our mind. Something passes through our mind, gets us off, and then we come back. Then we come back again. Satan is fighting all the time. And he can't read us like God can, but He can let enough things fly through our mind. He can figure out which one will keep us distracted the longest. And when you do, just mark it down. That's what you'll start thinking about. Because that's where He works. And He's got you distracted. And so what happens, we're distracted from the Word of God, but get back in that world, and He doesn't distract us anything except to go with the flow of the world. So we're running all the time with the world. We're in the midst of the world, and we don't realize that the growth that we get through mental access of things, if we don't have something to counteract that, we wouldn't know that. Hey, if someone would start, or generation said 2 + 2 = 5 rather than 4, if that wasn't changed within a period of time, you'd be finding that the generation would come up in the future sometime and they'll believe it 2 + 2 = 5. Because they have nothing to balance it with. Unless you go back to the authority of the book that said it was 2 + 2 = 4 to start with. So he sees the new world created by science and technology, and it's different. That's why they won't go to church a couple of times, because they say that you're not going to confine me under that preaching to make me feel guilty. You're not going to have me set someone, someone attack me. You're not going to get me somewhere to push off that religious stuff on me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's foolish. That's foolish for a person to think that, because God says what I'm doing right now is not foolish. In the eyes of the world it is, but it's not foolish. Because God has given us understanding there are some things wrong in this world, and that which is wrong you can't declare right without feeling guilty if you do it. And so God said, I'm letting you know. It's a warning. It's like pain to the body. It's a warning that something's wrong. If you have a pain to your body, you don't say, well, that's just pain, it'd go away. Well, if it's there 2 days later, you won't say that. In fact, I guarantee you, if it's there 2 hours later, you won't go, if it's excruciating pain. Well, pain shows you something's wrong. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, sin and guilt to sin shows us that something's wrong. It isn't because someone hates us or doesn't like us. It means that God so loved us, He wants us to know, I am the Creator, you are the creation, and because of sin that came from Adam and Eve, there are some things that are wrong that do not need to be done, because when they're done, you will feel the guilt if you're under the teaching and preaching of our Word. That's why, again, God's power is so great, and yet people pass it off as something else. rather than God being trying to get their attention. So in the Bible, the God of the Bible communicates with us. The second thing is this. One thing he lets us know is that God is the author of all things. He's the author of all things. Either the world produced itself or it was created. Things did not evolve in spite of what the world may say. Ladies and gentlemen, they were created. God never said he evolved anything. He created it. And he did it by the word of his power. Then how could anything act before it was created? I mean, I'm not very smart, but I declare it seems dumb to me for anybody if they say they're smart that something acted before it was ever made. Something acted had no life. Something acted that was never created by God himself. It just happened on its own. I've never known anything to become life on its own. It can't come out of a vacuum of nothing. There's got to be an intelligent design behind it. How could anything, how could things not created produce something? There's nothing more unreasonable than the creed of an unbeliever who thinks that everything we see so vast did not have a creator. The Bible proves itself to be inspired also. No, the book in the world condemns man and all his works. You know that? Read any book you want to, and you'll find the Bible be the one who condemns him more in his works. This Bible does not praise man's wisdom, nor his reason, nor his art, nor his progress. God's wisdom is more important than what man's, and yet wisdom is needed for man to apply knowledge correctly. A man needs to grow in grace and knowledge. A man in this life needs to grow because technology in other ways helps you get abreast of things and move faster. But you need wisdom to apply that. But that wisdom that applies knowledge correctly in this life should not be used to deny God. Because by the beginning of true wisdom is believing in him, trusting in him according to the Proverbs. So the Bible proves itself to be inspired. And God's wisdom is more important. And God teaches us to get his wisdom by believing him. When we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we get the Savior. And we have a mind potential of Christ. But the Bible teaches us that. The Bible represents him as being in sight of God as a miserable sinner. The Bible will show an individual that in the sight, I don't care what the world may say, the Bible will show a miserable sinner that a person unsaved, he's a miserable sinner. Because God wants him to see, unless he sees himself lost or she sees himself lost, they will never see the need to be saved. And they'll follow along with the world. But when you begin, you see yourself lost and you feel miserable because of something, you know what it is, you find out it's sin, and the Bible tells you what it is and what God has done for you, man, it opens up a whole new world about redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks and causes millions to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, have mercy upon me. And God sets, he moves mountains to get to us, folks, for that. Jesus Christ died that we might have the ability and the privilege to call upon his name. And seeing people in the state, in this state, Christ suffers their punishment and became the Redeemer. The sea man in his state that caused by Adam and Eve, Jesus came and suffered their punishment that he might become their Redeemer. Praise his holy name for that. And I say to you, that's the reason why. That's the reason why. I can't, after 53 years now, do any more than what I started out doing. I will not attempt to improve the scriptures to adapt them to my liking. I will believe them in context. I will not criticize the scriptures, but be directed by them. I will not exercise authority over them, but obey them. I will trust in him who is the way, the truth, and the life, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And without him, there is no hope. And that's something not been said in this day because Jesus Christ makes us free. I'll see in 2 Peter, I'll read some verses of Scripture, chapter 1, verse 20, 21. He said, knowing this first, that no prophet of Scripture of any tribe of interpretation, for the prophet came not in old time of the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I see in 2 Timothy also, where the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he said down about verse 16, 17, we know these by heart, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is profitable doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I see in Galatians also that the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, Paul said this, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. That's what people said. The world looks at it, the human mind says, that gospel's been made up by a man back there somewhere or another that came up with this idea and so forth, and it's been, anybody can get a follower. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, listen, he was on the road to Damascus, killed Christians when God Almighty turned him around, saved his soul, and he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of myself, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's how you get taught too if you really believe it. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see again in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel. You remember that? He said that the gospel of Christ was the power of God and the salvation of one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I see the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, 27 through 32, as he was speaking there, he said this, as he was fixing to leave. I think this is the church at Ephesus at this particular time. And he said this, he said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God with which he hath purchased with his own blood. For he said, Paul said, I know that this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also with your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And I identify with Paul. I believe God sent him for a purpose here and now for 45, going on 46 years. I've tried to do the same thing. And I realize this, and you will see it too as the day goes on. If you're not very careful, when this pulpit changes over and changes over and a few generations come by, if you don't have some people brought up like many are today in the turn, you'll find that it's easy for things to slip in. And you have to be careful of that because God says to watch for that. The men said to this pulpit, well, watch for your soul. Those who teach these classes ought to be watching for souls, because to do so, ladies and gentlemen, is to prepare the next generation so this doesn't happen. You understand what I'm saying? And I say to you again, Paul is giving the instruction here as he did to the church at Ephesus. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 20, chapter 1, verse 20, where he talked about, he said, whereas, where's the wise, where's the scribe, where's the spirit of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And then he says also over in chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, Paul said, but my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Paul was probably one of the most smartest men in that day, certainly in the beginning of Christians, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said here, he said, I came to you not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, the difference is not the wisdom of men where your faith has to stand. That's flimsy. That's flimsy. But it's in the power of God. Paul went on to say, as he looked over in chapter 2, verse 13, he said, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches. He said, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Realizing that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. In chapter 3 and verse 19, Paul said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. There it is again. Same things he mentioned in chapter 1. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness at this time. And then he says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4 through 8, he makes this statement, 2 verse 4 through 8. Watch this. He said to the church at Colossae, he said, this I say, lest any man should beguile you, that is, cheat you, trick you, deceive you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Don't just receive him, walk in him. There's a difference in receiving and just walking. Some people receive, never walk. You really don't really receive unless you are walking, because that's what God wants us to do. And he said that walking in him and rooted and built it up and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's literally been filled, been increased. Beware, he said, be on guard, watch, be careful, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. That's the study of man's relation in life. Beware lest a man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That's fraud, deceit. After traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. That's the principles of the world, and not after Jesus Christ. See, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus makes you free, that you can learn and tap into those things that God is talking about when it comes to our life this side of eternity in serving the true and living God. Thank God for the modern day that we have today, but let it not affect us our mind to the place that it gets so modern, it delivers us from the things of Christ, or tries to. I don't know about you, but I'm glad of modern-day technology. I'd rather flip a light switch and carry a lantern around, hadn't you? I mean, I'd rather take a shower and it's a lot better to take a shower and be washed in a room with two wash tubs. I've done both, I know. Amen? And you will too. I think it's not that we don't thank the Lord for modern-day technology. I'd rather have central heat than a pot-bellied stove. I've had both. I know that. I'd rather, again, ride in a car than in a mule wagon. I've done both of those. But today, I must not ever degrade the Savior and the Heavenly Father with the modern-day thoughts that the world's doing, because they deserve more than that. They ought to be praised to the one who gave us these things. But with God's help, I refuse to allow man's wisdom to rise above God's wisdom in my life. I refuse to allow man's secular wisdom to become truth and God's wisdom become error or a lie in my thinking. And I get that from the Word of God. That's the reason they have to be a student of this book. And I ask God, use that mind that God has given us. God, help me use this mind. It's forgetting a lot of things now, Lord. It's not motivating the motor of this body like it did at one time. Oh, God, help that mind be the place that it can be used for your glory. Use the mind that God has given you and believe the gospel truth about Jesus Christ. If you hadn't trusted Christ as Savior, believe that's the way God said. It's the only way a man can get saved. The only name under heaven given of a man whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by Him. Someone say, well, you know, preacher, I've trusted Christ as Savior. Then use His Word to direct you. Amen. Find out what it is that God wants. Help Him redirect your mind. Philippians 2:5 says, let the mind, this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Preacher, can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. Right here it is. This is where it's at. Everything that God wanted us to know, or everything that God knew, certainly not here. It took books and universe probably couldn't hold them. But everything we need to know, God is kind of packed it into this book. And when we know what His will is here and have His mind here, we're going to come out better, not only here, but in the world to come. And Satan has sidetracked us. You're going to hear this word belittle more and more. You're going to hear people trying to get self-help rather than eternal help. Self-help is temporarily. Eternal help is in glory after you leave this life. And a man will never step on those streets of gold unless they've been born into the family of God. That's the reason Jesus said in John 5 to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. It's not just a thing to think about. It's a must. And He tells us how. He tells us how we can be born again into the family of God, washed in His precious blood. The modern mind is doing everything it can today through our eyes, through our ears, what we hear, what we learn. And many times, just little things that said depreciates what God has to say. And if we don't spend time in this book and let the Holy Spirit be the one who inspires our heart and what God has said is true, we don't stand a chance against the world. We don't stand a chance. The world will make itself more smarter, laugh at us, make us look like fools. And God said, if you'll be a fool for me in this world and believe me, then one day you will see who the fools are. Called the fool has said in his heart, God says, there is no God. I'd rather be the fool for Christ than the fool in this world, hadn't you? Would you stand to your feet? Our Father, Lord, please use what's been said today. We tried to bring modern-day thoughts to the thinking of what God is saying for us to understand. That which the world looks as foolishness is the wisdom of God. People who deny Jesus Christ and make fun of Him, dear Father, are denying the only possible way that a person can ever come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What more can we say? Nothing, Lord. I have words, and I depend upon the Holy Spirit to make them real. Lord, I have words, and unless the Holy Spirit unction and really blesses and materializes those words in someone's heart, I have no power to make one believe what I say. but I believe in you. I trust you. The Lord, I believe that when the Word of God's taught, you said you won't let it return to your void. Dear Father, help this be a place for wherever it's sounded, the true gospel will be given out. Dear Lord, that would be love and compassion that offers it to people. If there's one here today not saved, please let them see how much you love them. God so loved the world that He gave His own begotten. He didn't just love the world. He so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And dear Father, most of these people here say they're saved. Many listen to us by the way of a radio in a few minutes, and by Ustream, no doubt will say they're saved. If we can actually say we've trusted Christ as Savior, dear Lord, now we ask that you help us hide that word in our heart. The psalmist said, if we hide it in our heart, we won't sin against you. Hide it in our heart, we might know the will of God. Hide it in our heart, Lord, so we know what we're talking about. Even though the world laughs and mocks us, we can still hold our ground before you. Maybe not before the world, but before you. That God has given us solid ground in our hearts to know the truth. That's what gave the martyrs in the older days, Lord, to stand and not deny Christ. It's because someone say, you deny Him, you can live. If you don't deny Him, you shall die. And they said, how can we deny the one that saved us? And they gave their life for you. Lord, that's what we're talking about in the mind that we need in a modern day. A mind that's filled with the things of God. Taught by you in the quietness of the hour, while others playing and romping in this world, we're in the book looking to you and asking for wisdom that's needed that we might understand you better and take our stand in these days for the glory of God. Please help someone today to see their need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.